You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Going Where You Haven't Gone Before by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Hebrews 11th chapter is known as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. A play on the words, the Hall of Fame. In the Hall of Fame, you have those in a particular field, usually an athletic field or some type of athletic venture, whether it be the Hall of Fame, Basketball Hall of Fame, Football Hall of Fame, NASCAR Hall of Fame, Baseball Hall of Fame. Those are people who didn't play or simply make the team, but people who really exceeded, use the words of Scripture, who went above and beyond the average. And so the Hebrews 11th chapter is called the Hall of Faith, because here, it of all the people in the Bible, it pulls out the patriarchs and the matriarchs of faith, people who walk with God and was able to accomplish great things, either receive great things or do great things as a result of their faith. And of course, the father of faith, according to the Scriptures, is Abraham. The Bible says, who's the father of us all. And, you know, everything, remember, I told you the Bible works in reverse. Everything went back to Abraham. And, you know, Abraham, he believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And so Abraham received righteousness by faith. Jesus came so we might receive righteousness through faith. Our righteousness now is not by obeying the law. The righteousness is by believing the word and by believing in Jesus. So let's pick up here at Hebrews 11th chapter, starting at verse 8, as it talks about Abraham, this father of faith, in the Hall of Faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive. Everybody say after receive. He was called to a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and went out not knowing whither he went. He went out not knowing where he was going. Why would you go someplace if you don't know where you're going? Because God told me to go and he knows where I'm going. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Those same verses from the Amplified. It says, urged on by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. And he went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. He went. Although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. He went, although he did not know or trouble his mind about where he was to go. How did he do this? Prompted by faith, he dwelt as a temporary resident in the land. Will you tell your neighbor, you just a temporary resident in this land? I ain't talking about because Donald Trump about to deport you. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about here on earth. Okay? You got to realize we are temporary residents in this land. And let me just stop there for a moment, because see, I got saved in the 70s. Seemed like a long time ago. Okay? But I got saved in the 70s. In the 70s, every message was about Jesus coming back. Every message. Some of y'all don't remember. Okay? It was at the height of everything being about the rapture. Everything being about the rapture. Hal Lindsey passed on. I think if he didn't, he's old now. Very old. But Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Rapture. And everybody was reading the rapture. Everybody was talking about the rapture. Everybody was giving everybody copies of the book, The Rapture. We had the little cartoon tracks, the books that we gave out to everybody. Everything was about the rapture. I really didn't think I was going to. I used to try to negotiate with God. I said, you know, I was a good boy. You know, I ain't done nothing. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? And if you could just hold out till I get married. You know, do a little something. Then come. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to go because we just really believe Jesus was coming back. And then in the 80s, I got a hold of Brother Hagin's teaching, and he started teaching from the Scripture that the Bible said to be active from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better. Everybody say far better. So then I got that I don't care what you think you miss, it's going to be far better. I said to my son, my younger son who got married last year, a couple years ago, we were talking about, you know, I said, you know, Jesus, I was talking about Jesus soon to come. He said, well, you know, I need to get married to have kids. And I said, I can assure you, having kids ain't all cracked up for me. You know what I'm saying? To be with the Lord is far better. Okay? Whatever you think you're missing out on, to be with the Lord, the scripture says, is far better. And so Abraham realized that I got to obey God. And what this application for us today is that you've got to realize with all that we build this life up to be, with all the message on prosperity and the fact that we can name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and see it and say it and possess it and confess it and possess it and all that, this earth is still a temporary place, y'all. This is not our final destination. And you got to realize you're still passing through. Everybody say, I'm passing through. Okay. You are passing through. You're passing through. It's not everything. It's not the end all. And so we have to still realize that whatever you don't get here on this side, glory to God, you're going to be ultimately fulfilled on the other side. And so Abraham recognized it. He prompted by faith, dwelt as a temporary resident in his land, which was designated in the promise of God, though he was like a stranger in a strange country, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Those were his sons, fellow heirs with him of the same promise. For he was waiting expectantly and confidently, looking forward to the city which has fixed and firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The series I'm starting tonight is entitled, Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. God called Abraham to go somewhere he had not gone before, he had not seen before, he had not heard about before. And faith is always going to require you to go someplace you have not gone before. For those of us who are Trekkies, and those who don't know what Trekkies are, Trekkies were people who were fans of either the TV series or the movie series Star Trek. They called us Trekkies. How many Trekkies we got here? All right. Well, Star Trek always came on with this epitaph: space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before. And that's what faith causes us to do. It causes us to go on voyages and adventures of faith. Over the years, I know when people have lost their job and they've come to me in a panic state. And if I didn't lose my job suddenly, I couldn't talk to them and give them the confidence and respond to them the way I often do. And many times people come, Pastor, I went to work today and I got laid off. I lost my job. I got fired. And many times if I have relationship with, I will say, well, get ready. God, get ready to take you on adventures of faith. Y'all ain't trying to hear that. Get ready, because you want to hear prophetic word. Get ready, because this the month of March. And God going to give you another job tomorrow. That may not always be the case, and it may not be the month of March when you get laid off. You understand? But whatever happens in your life, you have to realize God's going to take me on an adventure of faith. God's going to take me on a voyage of faith. And Abraham was willing to go on a voyage of faith. When you walk with God, you have to be willing to go on voyages of faith. That means going places you haven't gone before, doing things you haven't done before, being led by your spirit, keeping your ear to the mouth of God, that God's going to lead you through this place, that God knows what he's doing with your life. That's one of the faith phrases that I learned to often confess and say. God knows what he's doing with my life. You say that with me? God knows what he's doing with my life. Say it again. So you lose a job, but God knows what he's doing with my life. You go through a divorce, but God knows what he's doing with my life. Watch it. You have a miscarriage, but God knows what he's doing with my life. A loved one dies, but God knows. Come on now. You still got to know that no matter what I go through, nothing surprises God. It's not like God calls, when you go through something, God has to call all the angels back to heaven and say, come y'all, yo, did y'all see this coming? What happened? How we let the devil sideswipe us like this? Do you have any ideas? How are we going to take them through this? Did we plan for this? No, there's nothing you can go through that God didn't already know about. So God has already made a way, the Bible said. He's already made a way. He's already made a way of escape. Watch this. A way of escape. That scripture messes with you. Because when you really read it, it says make a way of escape that we can bear up under it. Wait, no, you didn't catch that. We always say made a way of escape so we can get out of it. No, the way of escape is that you can bear up under it. The way of escape many times is that God gonna give me the grace to go through this. The way of escape is when I should have sorrow, I still have joy. That's the way. The way of escape is that God carries me through this situation. For many of us, God called us or is calling us to do things we haven't done before. I submit to you, if God called you to be part of this church, you are constantly being challenged to do things you haven't done before. To go places you haven't gone before. Whether we're doing it individually or whether we're doing it corporately. Most of us in here have never been a part of a church that has such an aggressive vision. I was in a car and I saw a video. Anyway, maybe I was already home. Okay. But I saw a video, and Sam Chan is a leader, a church leader, and does stuff for corporate, but also for the church. He's an Indian brother who does, I'm a subscriber to his weekly video cast. It's called Leadership Tuesdays. And it kind of went along. Laura already was dealing with me about this message anyway, and it kind of supported. He said, "How to lead where you have not gone? How to take people you have not gone?" He said, because how many times have we heard people say, "Have we heard people say you cannot take folks where you have not been? You have not lead where you have not. You cannot lead people to where you have not been." He said, "That's not true." He said, I know many leaders, many pastors who are leading mega churches who came out of a church with less than 200 people. So I'm leading people places where I have not been. But now in my case, I got exposed. But many times, and so God calling me to do things I have not done. He's calling me to build things. I didn't want to build anything. Can some of y'all, you know, there are people who just set out to build. I wasn't trying to build nothing. I wasn't even trying to build a clubhouse. Okay. Pastor Marcia had been on she really wanted to build, and I still promised her. I still promised her. She still wanted to do it. She said, she told me too late now. Okay. She told me too late, but she always wanted to build a house. And I kept saying, listen, I got too much to build for the church. I just want to go home. You know, I won't have to go and check on what the floor they put in there. I got to do that at the church. And when I'm finished here, I just want to go home. Okay. And so that can be looked like, you know, willing to do it for the church, wasn't willing to do it for her. But anyway, I don't want to build anything. So now, watch it. I never came out of churches or was connected with pastors who were builders. But God's called me to do things I haven't done before. Go places I have not been before. Many of you, your family, God's calling you to have a family that you didn't come from. You don't cuss at your kids and you grew up being cussed out every day. Come on now. But God's telling you to have a family that you didn't come from. God's telling you to have a marriage that you didn't grow up experiencing. God's telling you to have a husband versus a living boyfriend. You ain't seen that before. Don't get mad. I ain't talking about your mama. I'm talking about mine. And so God, faith is always challenging you to do stuff you haven't done before. That's what faith, and watch this, faith will challenge you to trust God, to take you to the place and give you a life whose builder and architect is God. In other words, to have the kind of life that nobody can take credit for giving you but God. Doing things that nobody can take credit for doing but God. If you aren't willing to go where you haven't gone before, you're going to be limited and stuck where you are. Let me say it again. If you're not willing to go where you haven't gone before, you're going to be limited by and stuck where you are. I don't like being stuck. The truth of the matter, I like moving. Listen, the truth of the matter is this is me. Everybody's different. I'd rather take the long way and keep moving than to be stuck in traffic because it's going to be short on the interstate. If I can get off the interstate, take the side roads and just keep moving, I'm better. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That the whole idea of being stuck in traffic, that's why there was a time back in the, you know, when I started in the corporate environment and when I got trained as a claim rep, every office around the country, they were responsible every year for training so many claim reps, and you didn't know where you were going to be. And so they would just tell you to fill out your dream sheet. Well, dream sheet means places that you, because you may be hired by the office that hired you, but you may not. And so my dream sheet included New Jersey. We had include New Jersey, Atlanta, and New Orleans. Okay, I mean after Katrina was happening, I said, "Lord, thank you, Lord, I wasn't there." Once I moved south and started going to Atlanta on a regular basis and got stuck in that traffic, I said, "Lord, you know how much I can bear." I love going to Atlanta. I just can't that traffic and especially when we go, we're down in south side down on College Park, and then we want to go up to Buckhead, and then you can't enjoy yourself because it's 3 o'clock. We gotta go. 3:15, too late. You stuck. I mean stuck in traffic, going like this. But you got to be willing to try different things. Otherwise, you're going to be very limited in your cuisine. If you're not willing to travel beyond the beach. Something else I found when I came to South Carolina. Folks always tell me, I said, "Pastor, we're going on vacation. Where are you going?" "The beach." So I'm like, "What's the beach?" It's not everybody go to the beach. Then I found out the beach is Myrtle Beach. Do y'all know there's other places other than Myrtle Beach? Okay. But if you only do what you've always done, there's a whole lot you'll never explore. My wife and I, we were vacationing a few years back in the Cayman Islands. We were in Cayman Islands, and then we met this British couple. The Cayman Islands is British territory. And we met this couple, and they said, "Can I ask you a question?" I said, "Well, you said you're from the United States." "Yes, ma'am." They said, "Why do people in the United States always travel outside the United States?" And when I ask them, most places that we look to go into the United States, they've never been there. And so it really made us think. You know, there's people on the East Coast, like on this, who've never been to California. I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, okay? For years, we had never been. And so one year, we just decided for vacation, we said to go to California. As a matter of fact, we stayed in the same hotel that Whitney Houston died in, the Beverly Hilton. Now, I didn't go much further beyond the hotel. I didn't know much about L.A. Wasn't trying to roam the streets and all that kind of stuff. And we went down to Rodeo Drive, and we came right back to the hotel. I wasn't trying to stumble into Compton or nothing on the plane. Like Donald Trump said, "Well, all you black people getting shot. Y'all getting shot." And so we decided we're going to, and then, you know, so every now and then when we choose vacations now, we look at someplace we've just never been before. Just to do something different. Look at your neighbor and say, "Do something different." Some of y'all, I know y'all saved. I know you're sanctified and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and that with the mighty burning fire, and got a mind to run on and see what the end going to be. In these last and evil days, pray your strength to the Lord. But there really is more to do than just go to work and go to church. And all the folks who ain't here tonight, I know that's right. That's why I ain't up in the church on a Wednesday night. Because there's more to do than just go to work and go to church. Yeah. There really is more to do. And you can still be saved. Now, some of y'all, y'all can't even ride past the ABC store without backsliding. So some of y'all, all you need to do is go to work and go to church. As a matter of fact, some of y'all so-called, you probably need to quit your job and just come to church. But for most of us, you got to realize there's other things you can do. But you got to be willing to step out and do stuff. I mean, as I got older and as my children got older, and, you know, we got excess money, we can do stuff. I put them on my children through college and all that. We decided we just want to do different stuff. So a couple years ago, you know, just about 2 years ago, we went to the opera. I ain't going again, but I went. We said, let's just do something different. And it just so happened that this opera, they had the words up under, and it was interesting. I'm like, I don't have to do this again. Okay, you know. About 2 years ago, Misty Copeland became a big, big phenomenon. We went to New York just to go to the ballet. Okay? We just decided we're gonna do something. And watch it, I'm still saved, y'all. Didn't lose none of my anointing. Okay. But listen, if you're only limited to what you've always done, go on a bike week. Now that you should not do. You can't go to bike week and be saved. It's one or the other. I ain't even been. I just heard about it. All I heard, folks riding around on their bike with the butts out like a Sodom and Gomorrah. I ain't even been. But to walk by faith, listen, it requires a willingness to go where you haven't gone before. Come on, say this. Say, Lord, I'm willing to go where I haven't gone before and do things I haven't done before. You'll never experience the fullness of your relationship with God if you got to have routine. Some of y'all are just people of routine. But when God takes you on adventures of faith, nothing routine about it. As a matter of fact, it takes no faith to operate in your plan and your routine. Well, my plan regarding ministry was that I was going to work, I was going to stay in this corporate environment, and I was going to get my promotions. I had picked out, I told you I picked out a nice area in South Jersey, okay, not Camden, because a lot of people from South Jersey always said, they said, where you from? They were trying to, like they from some real bougie area, you know. They'll say, I'm from South Jersey, you know. So I would say, you mean like Camden? Because Camden, like, really, that's rough, y'all. Okay, but I had really picked out a nice town, and I was going to have myself a nice bougie church. Okay, with middle class, upper middle class, professional people. We wasn't going to be rolling on nobody's river. You understand? It was going to be diverse and multicultural. Wasn't going to be no black church. I keep telling y'all, we're never trying to have no black church. That's why this ain't Right Direction Black Church. Okay? And I just had my plans. And so I was on this career track, and my next move would have been to move to home office. And, you know, I was making about 60 by the time. Okay, so then I'll get promoted to home office, and that place would be making about 70, 80. And then, you know, maybe I could get up to be a vice president of claim or regional claim director, all this kind of, because I was on the fast track. They had my career kind of marked out. And then my plan was that when I got to Jersey, I would start a church. And I would grow the church, and I had heard somebody say one time, that a church of 300 could take care of a preacher pretty good. I was at a seminar one time. Somebody said a church of 300 could take care of a preacher pretty good. So my goal, I'm going to be 300, and they're going to take care of this preacher. Okay? And my plan was, I would be making about $100,000, a church of maybe 300. Maybe by that time, maybe they could pay me maybe $100,000. And I'll just take this lateral move. And I will go from ministry, from the secular, into the spiritual. That was my plan. How many of y'all know God will mess up all your plans? Somebody said you make plans and God laughs. Oh, that's what you're going to do, huh?
not really.
Oh, that's how you got this worked out. Okay. Because see, as long as you can see it, as long as you can figure it out, as long as you can map it out, it takes no faith. If you can see it, if you can figure it out, and if you can map it out, it takes no faith. Because faith requires you to hear God. It takes no, you don't have to hear God for what you already got mapped out, when you're going to do it, at what season you're going to do it. A lot of people don't understand that. I'm going to challenge some of y'all, because I've seen people do this over the years in our ministry, and they say things to me, and I know God's laughing, and I laugh at them too. God's not going to wait for you to make all the money you want to make doing what you want to do, and then you're going to fulfill his call in your life. That ain't how this works.
God wants to take you places where you've never gone before, but it's going to take faith. You have to maintain your faith at all times and in all situations along the way. Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that on the way to your destination, you may have to face some temporary places and circumstances. But get ready, because God has already cleared the path for your journey. Order today for your love gift of $25 or more and get the bonus message, "Are You Down for the Journey?" by Pastor Chandler Bailey. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for Going Where You Haven't Gone Before. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info, or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.